to leave at 11:25. Is that okay? Cool. Thank you.
Good morning, Ascend Church. Good morning. We welcome you to stand with us as we begin to worship this morning. It's too quiet in here. Come on, somebody get excited this morning. Lord, we bless you, we praise you, we glorify you, and we give you all the praise in this room. For you alone are worthy. Oh, we lift up a shout of praise to the risen King, yeah. Let praise be the weapon that silences the enemy. And let praise be the weapon that conquers all anxiety. And let it rise. Let praise arise. Let it rise, let praise arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever left in mind. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, and let faith be the song that overcomes the raging sea. And let faith be the song that calms the storm inside of me. Let it rise, let things arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever left in mind. Will all creation cry, God, we praise you. Whoa, we praise you. All right, Ascend Church, I want you to shout out a praise this morning. Come on, somebody shout out hallelujah in this place. Come on, we are not going to be ones to stand still. We're going to give our glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together. Come on. declare,
this is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We pray.
Come on, somebody help me say.
This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. What heaven sounds like.
We
pray.
Say,
we'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we pray. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. Will all creation cry? God, we praise you. Oh.
Got in a mood or in a moment where you just know God did it. You know he was the one responsible. It couldn't have been anybody else. And no matter where you're sitting, you like, you got to praise him this morning. You got to give the glory. And that's where I'm at this morning.
So I can't hold back my praise. I gotta let it out. I can't hold back my breath.
Come on. I gotta let it out.
I can't hold back my breath.
Hey, I gotta let it out.
I can't hold back.
Hey, I gotta let it out.
I can't hold back my breath. I gotta let it out. I can't hold back my breath. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. Will all creation cry? God, we praise. Oh. Oh.
Father, we bless you. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Have your way.
Oh, you are welcome here. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. My heart becomes free when my shame is undone. Your presence.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is under your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long.
Let's sing that.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Now all across this room, fill this place with worship. Fill this place with praise. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We welcome you, Lord. Oh, fill the room with your glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you. At this moment, we invite our... Okay. All right. Well, at this moment, we're going to go on in our worship service. And I just encourage you to lift your hands, to lift your voices, to sing out, and to worship Him, for He alone is worthy. Thank you, God.
Oh, it all revolves around Your throne. Who can know Your glory? And so high above, yet slain for us, You alone are worthy. And the praise is Yours, and the praise is Yours. You're the one we bow before. Reign over us as we lift You up. You will reign
to come,
the God of every moment, forever crowned, exalted now, You alone are holy, and the praise is Yours, and the praise is Yours. You're the one we bow before. Reign it over us as we lift You up. You will reign forevermore. And the praise is Yours. And the praise is Yours. You're the one. Come on and say, glory and praise,
the praise is yours. And the praise is yours. You're the one we bow before.
Bring it over us as we lift you up.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Church, as we worship in our last song, do you believe God still does miracles today? You believe that there's still signs and wonders? Well, I want you to sing this out like you believe it, like you know it. We're going to declare that in this house. Thank you, Jesus.
The one who made the blind to see is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who made the deaf to hear is silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. I believe in you, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The one who does impossible is reaching out to make me whole. Reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place, his life is flowing through my veins. His life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you.
I believe in you. You're the God of me. believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
Somebody declare,
I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
Yeah.
I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
And I know now. I know it's true. God was and is to come. The power of the risen one. The God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. Oh, the God who was come, the power of the risen one. Oh, the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. Come on and say, yeah.
The God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. Oh, the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles.
I believe.
I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of
yes, you are, Lord.
I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
Come on, just the church, say, I believe in you. Come on and declare, I believe in you. Lift your hands, come on. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles, yeah.
I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
Now somebody lift up a shout. Somebody lift up praise. If you know that you know. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a God of miracles. He's a God of miracles. Just as I'm standing worshiping and singing these songs, I see the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't come alone. He comes holding hands with signs and wonders and miracles. The Bible says that when Jesus was baptized, that the Holy Spirit came upon him. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And from that day forward, there began to be signs and wonders and miracles in his ministry. And so too in the book of Acts, the Bible said that before Jesus, when he was going to ascend, he said, don't go anywhere until you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when they were on the day of Pentecost, tongues of fire sat upon them and power came upon them, because the Holy Spirit does not come without coming with power. So he comes not in just in power, but he comes with power. So he comes accompanying him is power. Accompanying him are signs and wonders. And that's why the children, the disciples that were in the upper room, stepped out of that upper room, and they didn't just have an experience of power, but they began to walk with power, because they walked with the Holy Spirit. And so I want you to see this morning, family, that when you receive Jesus and when you receive the Holy Spirit, there are accompanying signs that come with the presence of God. And it should not be an anomaly, and it should not be unusual, but it should be an everyday occurrence that we see the signs and the wonders and miracles and healings taking place around us. Because we are walking with him, and with him come the signs and wonders. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, that we walk not in the ways of men, but we walk in your ways. From the very moment that God opened his mouth to create the world, miracles began. It was one word that created this entire universe. He spoke the word and miracles took place. So too, my children, you can speak a word and see miracles take place. Because you're created in my image, and my word still contains the same power. My word contains miraculous, miracle-working power. If you will allow me to speak through you, says the Lord, you will begin to see circumstances change. You'll begin to see things come in line. You'll begin to see your life line up with what I've promised you. But you have to begin to speak miracle words over your life. My word is a miracle in your mouth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. It's not just a song we sing, but we desire your presence. Father, we're so grateful for our salvation. We're so grateful for our redemption. We're so grateful that you filled us with the Holy Spirit. We're so grateful that you promised to be with us to the end of the age. And so welcome in this place, Lord. We give you, just lift your hands and say, welcome, Lord. We worship you. You are our Lord. There's none like you. You alone deserve the glory, deserve the honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A simple building becomes a temple of the Lord. Brick and mortar becomes a place of worship where it can house the presence of God. And there's no telling what can happen in the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I love being with the family of God. How about you? Just want you to turn and welcome someone and tell them, welcome to Ascend Church. You may be seated. How wonderful to see you. Welcome to Ascend Church. So glad to worship with you. We are a family in the body of Christ. So good to be with you in the house of the Lord today. I want to welcome those that are watching online. Welcome to Ascend Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are praying for you. We believe, we pray over these services beforehand, and whatever it is you have need of today, we believe in God that you see your miracle take place. Amen. Praise God. How are you all doing today? I thought it was supposed to be 80% chance of rain. I'm glad it wasn't before church, right? So good to see you. Well, we welcome to each and every one of you. We especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting us for the first time. We love having visitors in our church, and we don't want to embarrass you in any way. We'd just like to give you a visitor pack where you're sitting. So if you are here for the first time today, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? God bless you. Come on, family. Let's make it sound like welcome, Caden. Welcome. God bless you. Let's make sure that just wave your hand. That Miss Shanta will get to you. Looking very beautiful. Shanta. I love the black and white. Praise God. And then there's a card that says guest. And we ask you just fill that out. And when we pass an offering bucket by, just drop it in. It's an opportunity for Pastor Steve just to know that you were here and for him to reach out to you. So thank you for doing that. Fill that card out and drop it in. And we're so glad that you've joined us today. I always say it, but I know it to be true in my own life. Sometimes we accept an invitation to go somewhere, I accepted an invitation to go to church, never knowing that God was directing my footsteps to change my life forever. So I believe you're not here by accident. Praise God. And just to let you know the various ways that you can watch, people are watching on Facebook Live today. Welcome. Let us know where you're watching from. Comment on the service. And people watch from all over. I love technology for that reason and some other reasons too, but I like it for that. And go ahead and share the live stream. If you want to on Facebook, share the live stream. You never know who, somebody in your family, one of your friends, one of your enemies will see the service and be blessed by it. We also are on Ascend Church Jupiter on YouTube. And subscribe to the channel. There's all these. Subscribe to the channel. I mean, if you like this church and if you like these teachings, subscribe to the YouTube channel. And it's also so easy to share. It's so easy to re-watch a service and make use of that. You can watch on AscendChurchJupiter.us. That's our website. You can watch on our mobile app. If you haven't downloaded that, download that. It's all kinds of resources, not just the services to watch, but it's also, there's blogs on there, there's Bible reading programs, there's all kinds of things. So download that app if you haven't done so already. And then we do pass a clipboard by in the service, and we do that in order for, it's a pastoral thing, helps us with our records. It helps us keep your information updated. Let us know that you are here. Just check it as it goes by. We appreciate you doing that. And if you don't receive our text, who does not get a text from the church weekly with the service? Anybody does not receive the text from the church? Nobody's going to put their hand up, right? You all get it. Well, if you don't get it, you text the word ASCEND to that phone number, 561-745-5404. And I want to remind you of the four main purposes of our church. It's really important. The first one is that we want you to know God. That's first, number one. Second of all, we want you to find freedom. Thirdly, we want you to discover your purpose. And lastly, we want you to make a difference with your life. Amen. You coming up, my darling? Too soon. Think I've been up here too long? Go get your money out. I'm going to take up the offering. Praise God. This is a time in the service where we have the opportunity to give. And I'm kind of jumping ahead of Pastor Steve, but he's going to preach on the subject of the God of signs and wonders. And, you know, if you've read your Bible, and I've read through the life of David and Daniel, and I'm reading through all about Jacob, and it really just reminded me of the miracles that we see through the Bible. I mean, it's from page one to the last page. God is the God of miracles. And do you know that many of the miracles that God did were miracles of provision, right? And I want to read us one of those. And if you are wanting to give, there's an envelope right in the seat where you're sitting. If you're watching online, it's just simple for you to give. And you can click the link that says give. It's secure. There's various ways that you can give. You can text give. If you have never given online, it's the first time you do it, you set it up. And after that, it's just simple. I just put the number in, click it, and it immediately gives. So thank you for doing that. And I'm going to read this passage from 2 Kings chapter 4. It says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing here at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you. You and your sons pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. Verse 5. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there's not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. Isn't that interesting? I mean, that goes against everything in human nature. She has a tiny little bottle. So as I said, the Old Testament, the New Testament, there's so many miracles of provision, but they were all preceded with obedience. They all were activated with obedience. Elisha says, how can I help you? This woman is in so much debt. They're going to take her children as payment. And he says, how can I help you? What do you have in your house? And so it was an act of obedience that she said, what I have, I'm going to follow what the word of the Lord is to me. I'm going to be obedient. And her debts were cleared. And then some. Who would have thought that she could have get all of her debts taken care of by a little something she had in her house? Amen? And so never underestimate what God can do with an offering, what God can do with obedience. Amen? And so we bring our tithes, the 10%, we bring that. We know that God tells us that it belongs to Him. He doesn't request it. He said 10% of what you have belongs to me. So we bring that into the house of the Lord. But always stay open. I don't know your financial situation, but you may be believing God for something big. And He may just say to you, what do you have in your house? Obey Him, because it could be the solution and the miracle that you're looking for. Amen. So as we get ready to give, thank you so much to every faithful tither. There are people that do recurring giving. And whether we see them or not, they give into the house of God, and it's such a blessing to us. So thank you for doing that. Father God, we come before you. We thank you for the miracles of provision that you showed throughout the Bible, the feeding of the 5,000, all the different things that we see you do. And we trust you today with our lives, that you are Jehovah Jireh, that you are our provider, that you are El Shaddai. You're the God who's more than enough. So, Father, I pray over each person, every family, those watching online that give today, that tithe. Thank you that the windows of heaven are open above them, pouring them out such blessing they don't even have room enough to receive. Those that give over and above, Father God, I thank you for multiplication. I thank you for miraculous increase in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now I'm ready for you, darling. You can go ahead, ushers. Thank you. Look very handsome today.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Couple of things I want to mention real quick before we get into the Word of God, and I really want to get into God's Word as quick as I can. But a couple of things I want to mention to you, and that is, first of all, we're 3 weeks away from celebrating the greatest event in all of human history, the resurrection of Jesus. 3 weeks away from Easter. When you came in today, did you get some of these cards? You did? I asked that each person get 5 cards. And I'm going to ask you to invite 5 people to come to the Easter service. We have, of course, Easter Sunday is on April 9th. And then on April 7th, we're having our Good Friday. We're having a Good Friday service at 7 p.m. It's going to be a 1-hour service. I'm going to preach a different message on Good Friday to Sunday. It'll be 2 different services, different sermon, different songs. Everything will be different. So I encourage you to come to both of them. I will be at both of them. On Friday, we really remember Jesus laying his life down and being crucified. And then on Sunday, we celebrate Jesus' resurrection from the dead. So please be thinking about, man, Easter time. It's one of the easiest times and one of the best times to invite someone to come to church, because people are very often open to going to church on Easter time. Then also I want to mention to you that I'd like to actually have water baptism at the Easter Sunday morning service. I think I'd love to do it. And if I have some people to baptize, I'll do it. So if you would like to get baptized in water, now let me just clarify. Jesus said that we are to go into all the world, we are to make disciples, and we are to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, if you were baptized when you were a baby, like me, I was christened when I was a baby. That doesn't count, because the Bible says that in Acts 2:38, we should repent and be baptized. First, you got to repent, and then you get baptized. So there's no purpose. There's nowhere in the Bible where they ever baptized babies. You have to come to an age of understanding where you choose to follow Jesus. Then you get baptized. So what I'm saying is, if you were baptized when you were a baby, you need to get baptized again, because you weren't baptized correctly. So all you need to do is fill out one of these cards. I think, do we have some in the seat backs? If you don't have one in the seat back, just wave your hand and we'll get one to you. But fill this card out, and if we have enough, I'll do water baptism, because we have to fill up the pool. We'll have the pool right outside here, and so that would be great. Also, if you have not yet been through our Christian Growth Seminar, I want to really encourage you to sign up for that. It's a 4-night Bible study course that runs over a month, 1 night a week for 4 nights. I teach this class. It's a life-changing Bible study course. I've been teaching it for 30 years, and let me tell you, it is so powerful. You will learn so much. You will grow so much. Your life will change. If you haven't done the Christian Growth Seminar, sign up, fill out this green card, and I'm waiting to get enough people to start the class. So fill it out. The sooner we can fill it up, the sooner that we can start. Thank you, Tom. Is anything else I need to mention? I'll just do it now. We have the young people, Ascend Youth, are going to the movies today. They're meeting at 4 o'clock. They're going to see the Jesus Revolution movie, and they're meeting at downtown at the Gardens. Is that right? CMX downtown at the Gardens at 4 p.m. And it's $13 a ticket. We saw the movie. How many of you saw Jesus Revolution movie? Isn't it? You need to go see it, man. You need to see it, because it's a blessing. It'll inspire you. It'll just move you. But also, we want to support Christian movies. Amen. So praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. Tell him, you're looking good. You look better than you did last week. That's true. This is a good-looking church right here. We've got some good-looking people in here. And the more you come to church, the better looking you become. Should have seen me when I first started out. Are you ready for God's word today? Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for Jesus, your Son, whom you sent to the earth to save us, to redeem us. We thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, that you are the God of miracles, signs, and wonders. Lord, you always have demonstrated your mercy, your kindness, your goodness by doing signs, wonders, and miracles. And Father, I thank you today that as I speak your word, thank you for anointing me and helping me. Thank you for touching every life. Thank you for speaking to every person. Thank you that our faith rises up big, Lord, to believe you for the impossible. And we careful to always give you the praise, the honor, the glory for everything that is said and done in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, worship team. We appreciate you so much. Thank you, Bronson and Hannah and Dave and Muff and everyone was up here today. Monique, praise the Lord. Today I want to speak to you. I felt the Lord guide me to speak to you about the God of miracles, signs, and wonders. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse number 3, Daniel said, "How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and his dominion is from generation to generation." David said in Psalm 144 verse 5, "I remember the glorious miracles of days gone by, and I often think about the wonders of old." I do that too. I often think about the things that God has done that we've seen in the scripture and the things that God has done in my life. In Psalm 77, verse 14, it says, "You are the God of miracles and wonders. You still demonstrate your awesome power." He still is the God of miracles, signs, and wonders. We must never forget that our God is a God who still does miracles, signs, and wonders. All through the Bible, we see it. The Bible's filled with accounts of the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that our God has done. Can you say amen? I mean, beginning with right from the beginning, like my wife said earlier, with creation. That was a miracle, sign, and a wonder. And then in Genesis 5, Enoch was translated. He didn't see death. He was taken. God took him because he pleased him. Then in the worldwide flood, that was a sign, a miracle, and a wonder. And then in Genesis 19, we see where Sodomites were blinded by two angels. That was when, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. Then the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. Abraham and his wife Sarah had a baby when they were 100. He was 100 years old. That's a miracle, isn't it? God speaks to Moses from a burning bush. Moses' rod is changed into a snake when he goes before Pharaoh. Then we have the 10 plagues that came upon Egypt, where God delivered the children of Israel from slavery. And of course, God parted the Red Sea, and the Israelites walked through on dry land. And when the sea closed up, when the Pharaoh's army attempted to cross, they were drowned. Jeremiah 32 in verse 20 says, "You performed miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, things still remembered to this day, and you have continued to do great miracles in Israel and all around the world. You've made your name famous to this day." Psalm 105, verse 26. "But the Lord sent his servant Moses along with Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed miraculous signs among the Egyptians and wonders in the land of Ham," which is another name for Egypt. Deuteronomy 26, verse 8. "So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand and powerful arm, with overwhelming terror, and with miraculous signs and wonders." God continued to do signs and wonders after he delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. He did miracles in the wilderness. He protected them. He guided them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He rained down manna from heaven to feed them. Their clothes never wore out. For 40 years, their clothes didn't wear out. That's a miracle, isn't it? He brought water out of a rock. Then when Korah and some of his company opposed Moses, the earth opened up and Korah and his friends fell down into Sheol. And then fire came from heaven and consumed the 250 leaders of Israel that opposed and came against Moses. God caused Aaron's rod to blossom. That's a miracle. He made Balaam's ass to speak. There's still some asses speaking today, but I'm talking about the donkey kind. He spoke with a human voice, Balaam's donkey. The Jordan River was supernaturally parted. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. The sun and the moon stood still for 24 hours. Gideon's army of 300 defeated an army of 135,000 with God's supernatural help. Samson performed miracles of strength. Elijah saw many miracles and signs and wonders. I mean, he ordered, he said there's not going to be any rain, there's going to be a drought. And there was no rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed for rain to come, and the rain came. And Elijah was fed by ravens. He multiplied the widow's oil and flour so that it didn't run out for 3.5 years. He raised that same widow's son from the dead. He parted the Jordan River. Fire fell from heaven to consume Elijah's sacrifice. Then Elijah outran King Ahab's chariot. Elijah was fed by an angel. Elijah's taken away in a chariot of fire. Then Elisha, his student, twice as many miracles happened in Elisha's ministry. He healed Naaman, the general, the Syrian general, healed him of leprosy. He caused an axe head to float to the top. He raised the Shunammite son from the dead. He turned back time. For Ezekiel, the shadow of the sundial went back 20 degrees. That's a sign and a wonder and a miracle, isn't it? David slew Goliath with a sling when he was 17 years old. David's mighty men, man, they did such amazing things. You think you're reading about Superman. One of David's mighty men killed 800 of the enemy in a single battle. That's a sign, a wonder, and a miracle. Even Chuck Norris couldn't do that. I mean, I was watching Chuck Norris and he didn't think he could beat more than maybe 5 or 6 guys at one time. David's mighty men, 800 killed in one single battle. Then we saw God protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were thrown into a burning fiery furnace. God protected Daniel when he was thrown into a den of lions. God did amazing miracles and signs and wonders, miracles of provision, miracles of deliverance, miracles of protection, miracles of healing, all kinds of signs and wonders. Can you say amen, somebody? Then we come over to Jesus' life. I mean, we see Jesus did signs and wonders and miracles throughout the Gospels. In Acts 2, verse 22, it says, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." The Bible says Jesus was attested by God by the miracles and the signs and the wonders. In other words, that was demonstrating the miracles, the signs, and the wonders demonstrated that Jesus is the Son of God. Can you say amen, somebody? It was the signs and the wonders and the miracles that drew people to follow Jesus. Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine, a miracle of provision. John 2, verse 11. This miracle in Cana was the first of the many extraordinary miracles that Jesus performed in Galilee. This was a sign. revealing his glory, and his disciples believed in him. John 2, verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. The miracles, the signs, the wonders that Jesus did is what drew the crowds to follow him. In John chapter 6, verse 2, it says, a huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw the miraculous signs as he healed the sick. The Passion Bible says they were attracted by his miracles and the healings they watched him perform. Luke chapter 4, verse 40 says, as the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. No matter what their diseases were, the touch of his hand healed every one. Many were possessed by demons, and the demons came out at his command, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But because they knew he was the Messiah, he rebuked them and refused to let them speak. And early the next morning, Jesus went out to an isolated place. The crowd searched everywhere for him. And when they finally found him, they begged him not to leave them. But he replied, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because this is why I was sent." So he continued to travel around preaching in synagogues throughout Judea. Now, Jesus healed multitudes of people. He made blind people to see. He caused deaf ears to open. He made lame people to be able to walk. He healed lepers. He healed paralyzed people. He even raised the dead. He raised a widow's son one time at a funeral. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. He gave Peter a huge catch of fish. It was supernatural. He calmed the storm, said, "Peace, be still." He fed 5,000 men with a little boy's lunch, and they collected 12 big baskets of leftovers. Jesus walked on the water. He rose from the dead. Jesus did signs and wonders and miracles throughout his ministry. In fact, many of Jesus' miracles are not recorded. Because how do I know that? I know it because the Bible tells me so. John 21, 25 says, Jesus did countless things that I haven't included here. And if every one of his works were written down and described one by one, I suppose that the world itself wouldn't have enough room to contain the books that would have to be written. Listen, what you got in the Bible and the Gospels, that's what the Holy Spirit wanted us to. He put that. Every word of God has been inspired by the Holy Spirit. But there are many things that Jesus did that are not recorded, because if they were all recorded, you'd need a U-Haul to carry your Bible with you every time you came to church. Say amen, somebody. And can I tell you the best news of all? Jesus has not changed. He is still the miracle worker. He is still the God of signs and wonders. And he wants to do the same things today, this day in which we live. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, he has not changed. And Jesus wants to do signs and wonders through you and me. He wants to do miracles through our lives today. How do I know that? I know it because the Bible tells me so. John 14, verse 12, Jesus said, "The person who follows me in faith." Let me see your hand if you're following Jesus in faith. Wave at me. Wave at me. Say, "This is talking to me. Talking to me." The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father, for I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask in my name. Say, the same miracles that Jesus did will happen through me. Amen. That's what Jesus said. How can we do the same miracles Jesus did? Jesus said, because I am going to be with my Father. You see, when Jesus went back to be with the Father, he's seated now at the Father's right hand. What did he do? He sent the Holy Spirit to empower us. You see, all the miracles Jesus did, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says in Acts 10, verse 38, you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That tells me that sickness is from the devil, it's not from God. Because Jesus went around doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, and he did it because he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. When was Jesus anointed with the Holy Spirit? When he was baptized and the heavens opened, and John the Baptist said, I saw the Spirit of God like a dove descending upon him. That's when he was anointed. That's when he began to do signs and wonders and miracles. There's no record of Jesus doing miracles when he was a child. Some people think Jesus, you know, at his birthday party would do miracles to perform for his friends when he was 10 years old. You know, he'd raise little animals from the dead. I don't know. Just, no. Jesus didn't. There's no miracles until he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And no one even realized who he was. Only his mother knew. His father knew. But most people just, that's Jesus, Joseph's son. He's the carpenter. And when he got anointed and he started preaching and miracles started happening, they were like, whoa. Listen, we know that's Joseph. What's going on? They couldn't understand it because it was hidden. Now, Jesus didn't do any miracles until he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus has sent the same Holy Spirit who anointed him to anoint us and empower us to do signs and wonders and miracles. In fact, Jesus' final words in Mark 16, verse 15, he said right after his resurrection, he appeared to the disciples on his way back to the Father. He said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. And anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. I was talking to a lady the other day at the pool, our community pool, my new place of evangelism. Anyway, she was talking and she said, do you believe in hell? I said, well, the scriptures talk about it. Jesus spoke about it. The Bible talks a lot about it, Old Testament and New Testament. So if the Bible talks about it, I believe it. If Jesus said there's a hell, trust me, there's a hell. And just because you don't want to, because you don't like the thought of it, she said to me, well, God would never send, a loving God would never send someone to hell. I said, no. That's why God sent Jesus to pay the price so you don't have to go there. But if you don't receive him, you can condemn yourself to hell. To go around saying, well, I don't believe there's a hell. I don't believe there's a hell. I don't believe there's a loving God. Listen, I'm going to believe Jesus before I believe what you think. Now, I'm sorry that I don't understand. Let me tell you right now, you cannot enter heaven unless you're born again. No sin can enter heaven. You've got to receive Jesus, and you've got to be born again. It's not that God's keeping anyone out of heaven. He's paid the price. He's made the way. We've got to preach the gospel. Then people must believe. You don't have to worry about hell. You go to heaven. I can't believe how many people want to make up their own doctrines. Well, I don't care what you, who cares what you think? Who are you? Are you God? Who cares what you think? Who cares? And so I don't get up here and tell you what I think. I get up here and tell you what the Bible says. It goes on, it says, these miraculous signs, verse 17, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak with new languages. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. And when the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down at the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. And God wants to do the same today. When you begin to preach and share his gospel, he will confirm what you are saying with miraculous signs. After the resurrection, after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to the disciples in Acts 1, in verse 8, and he said to them, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." You will receive power when the Holy Spirit. Say, "I have received power. The Holy Spirit has given me power." Say it like you believe it. "I have received power. The Holy Spirit has given me power." The power of the Holy Spirit is to enable you to be a witness for him. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came to the church. There were 120 believers gathered in the upper room. I always wonder, where's all the other people? Where's all the multitudes that followed him when they saw the miracles? Where's the 5,000 that got fed? Jesus appeared to 500 people after his resurrection, but there were 120 on the day of Pentecost. Only 120 gathered in that room. And it says they were waiting for the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised. And suddenly they hear the sound, a rushing mighty wind, and flames of fire settle upon them. And the Bible says our God is a consuming fire. John the Baptist said, "Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." They all get filled with the Holy Spirit. And they begin to speak out in this new heavenly language, speaking other tongues. And the people out in the street, they hear this. And they think that the disciples are drunk. Because sometimes when you get so filled with the Holy Spirit, people may think you're drunk. You may look drunk. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 18, don't be drunk with wine. That'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know that getting drunk on alcohol is a cheap imitation of being filled with the Holy Spirit? I listened to the Message translation of Ephesians 5, 18. I like it. It says, don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God, huge drafts of him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing from your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything. Any excuse for a song to God the Father. Man, take huge drafts of the Holy Spirit. Drink in of the Holy Spirit, man. When they go to the bar, they say, "You want a beer? What do you want? 16 ounce or 24? I want 24 ounce of the Holy Spirit. I want the full, the big one, man." That's what the Bible, it compares drinking the Spirit to people getting drunk on alcohol. Being drunk on alcohol is a cheap imitation of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray that every one of you gets drunk in the Holy Spirit. I've seen my wife so drunk in the Holy Spirit, we had to carry her out of church. She couldn't even stand up, you know, like a drunk person. Drunk in the Spirit. I pray you all get drunk in the Spirit. Peter stands up and he begins to preach to the crowd, man. Boldly, he says to them in Acts 2, verse 15, "These are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. On my maidservants, on my men servants, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. blood, fire, vapor of smoke, I will show wonders. I will show signs. I will do miracles. And then verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him. The Bible says after Peter preaches, 3,000 people receive Jesus and get saved. In Acts, the next chapter, in Acts chapter 2, Peter and John are on their way to go to pray. They're on their way to the temple. And they see a paralyzed man, a lame man at the gate. And they heal him. They look at him, he's looking for silver and gold. Peter says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, grabs him, lifts him up. The man gets healed, goes with them into prayer meeting, praising God. 2,000 more people become believers. The religious leaders get upset. They get angry. So they have Peter and John arrested. And the next day, they have to go stand before the Jewish religious council to be questioned, interrogated, and they demand to know by what power and by what authority did they do this. And Peter says in Acts 4 verse 10, you and everyone else in Israel should know that it is by the power of the name of Jesus that this crippled man stands today completely healed. It's because of the power of the name of Jesus. Can you say amen, somebody? So the religious leaders, they threaten them and they command them, they better not you. We forbid you. You must not speak or teach anymore in the name of Jesus. You know, the devil's still trying to shut down the name of Jesus today. Why is it that even so many movies I see, they always want to curse the name of Jesus? Why do they want to do that? Jesus Christ. Have you ever wondered why they do that? Because the devil hates the name of Jesus because it's the most powerful name. Have you ever heard him say, oh, Muhammad? Have you ever heard him say, oh, Buddha? Peter says to them, do you think we should obey you or do you think we should obey God? When they were released, they go back to the church. They tell them everything that happened. What did they do? They all prayed. Look what they prayed in Acts 4. They prayed in Acts 4, 29. Now, the religious leader said, man, you better not preach anymore in the name of Jesus. We're going to have you arrested. So now they go back to the church. They tell the church what happened. The church prays. So now, Lord, listen to their threats to harm us. Empower us as your servants to speak the word of God freely and courageously and boldly. Stretch out your hand of power through us to heal and to move in signs and wonders by the name of your holy son, Jesus. And as they prayed, the earth shook beneath them, causing the building they were in to tremble, and each one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they proclaimed the word of God with unrestrained boldness. I love that, man. I love that they get threatened. Now, you better not talk anymore in the name of Jesus, because this man that was healed at the temple, we forbid it. And they pray, Lord, empower us to do even more miracles and signs and wonders. Man, they went, they didn't back off, they went even further into it. The church in Acts had miracles, they had signs. They had wonders. In Acts 5, verse 12, the apostles performed many signs, wonders, and miracles among the people. And the believers were wonderfully united as they met regularly in the temple courts in the area known as Solomon's Porch. No one dared harm them, for everyone held them in high regard. Continually, more and more people believed in the Lord and were added to the number. Great crowds, both men and women. In fact, when people knew that Peter was going to walk by, they would carry the sick out onto the streets. And they would lay them down on cots and mats, knowing the incredible power emanating from him would overshadow them and heal them. Say, there's amazing power. Say this. Say, there is amazing power emanating from me. Great numbers of people swarmed in Jerusalem from the nearby villages. They brought with them the sick, those who were troubled by demons, and everyone was healed. Peter raised Tabitha from the dead. In Acts 9, verse 40, Peter asked them all to leave the room. He knelt and he prayed, turning to the body. He said, get up, Tabitha. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then he called in the widows and all the believers and presented her to them alive, and the news spread through the whole town, and many believed in the Lord. Did God only do signs and wonders and miracles through the apostles? Because when you talk about signs, wonders, and miracles, you're going to have some religious person who's going to tell you, but yes, Pastor Steve, that was only the apostles. Not you and me. That was only the apostles. Miracles don't happen anymore. Well, in Acts chapter 6, a man named Stephen, good name, by the way, Stephen says, it says, a man full of grace and supernatural power, he performed many astonishing signs and wonders and mighty miracles among the people. Now, let me tell you, Stephen was not an apostle. Stephen was a deacon. Stephen was a deacon, and yet he did signs and wonders and miracles. I know. He was, and then Philip was also a deacon, not an apostle. Philip was a deacon like Stephen, and later on, he became an evangelist. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 8, Philip, talking about Philip. Now remember, Philip's not an apostle. He traveled to a Samaritan city, preached to them the wonderful news about the anointed one. The crowds were eager to receive Philip's message, and they were persuaded by what? By the many miracles and wonders that he performed. Many demon-possessed people were set free, delivered. Evil spirits came out of them with loud screams, and many who were lame and paralyzed were healed. Verse 12 says, but as Philip preached the wonderful news of God's kingdom realm and the name of Jesus, the anointed one, many believed in his message and were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon believed and was baptized. Wherever Philip went, Simon was right by his side, astounded by all the miracle signs and enormous displays of power that he witnessed. The devil has convinced a lot of people that miracles no longer happen. He has sold the lie that it was only for the original 12 apostles. That's it. No miracles. Let me tell you, miracles, signs, and wonders are for today. They are to confirm the word that we preach. The apostle Paul was not one of the original 12 disciples or apostles. The apostle Paul was originally named Saul. He was a religious Pharisee who persecuted the church. He had Christians thrown into jail, even murdered. In fact, he was there when Stephen, who did the signs and wonders, he was stoned to death. And Saul, Paul, who had become Paul, he was there when they stoned Stephen to death. And then he got saved. And he became Paul, and he starts preaching. And in Acts chapter 13, what happened when he starts preaching? It says in Acts 13, the governor requested a meeting with Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the message of God's word. But Elimaeus, whose name means sorcerer, stood up against them, tried to prevent the governor from believing their message. Saul, also known as Paul, stared into his eyes and rebuked him. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, you son of the devil, you are full of every form of fraud and deceit, an enemy of all that is right. When will you stop perverting the truth of God into lies? And then he said, at this very moment, the hand of God's judgment comes on you, and you will be blind, so blind you won't even be able to see the light of the sun. And as Paul spoke these words, a shadow amidst the darkness came over the sorcerer, leaving him blind and groping around, begging someone to leave him by the hand. And when the governor witnessed this, he believed. He was awestruck by the power of the message of the Lord. I pray stuff like that's going to happen. People that oppose the sitting on TV, opposing the Lord, talking against Christians, and some believer says, man, you're going to be blind, and boom, the next thing he can't see. I'd love to see that happen just for a few days, then he can get his sight back. That's what happened with Paul. Paul had many miracles, signs, and wonders in his ministry. Many miracles, signs, and wonders. In Acts 14, verse 3, it says, Paul and Barnabas, they stayed there for a long time, preaching boldly and fearlessly about the Lord. For he backed up his message of grace with miracles, signs, and wonders performed by the apostles. God backs up his word that we preach with miracles, signs, and wonders. Can you say amen, somebody? In Acts 14, verse 8, when they were at Lystra, they came upon a man with crippled feet who'd been that way since birth. He'd never walked. He was listening to Paul as Paul preached, and Paul noticed him and realized he had faith to be healed. So Paul called him, said, stand up. And the man leapt to his feet and started walking. Now, when the people saw this happen, they ran and they wanted to worship Paul. They started throwing flowers at his feet. They thought he was a god. And listen, I love what Paul said. Listen to what Paul said to them in Acts 14, 15. People, what are you doing? We are only weak human beings like everybody else. This is why we've come to tell you the good news, so that you would turn away from these worthless myths and turn to the living God. Paul said, what are you doing? We are just weak human beings like you are. This isn't happening because of who we are. This is the power of the name of Jesus. It's the power of the gospel. And God will confirm his word through you with signs and wonders and miracles if you'll be bold enough to declare it. Will it be bolder? Because it takes some courage to declare the good news of the gospel. Can you say amen? You're talking to someone and they tell you about all their sickness and all that they're dealing with, and you tell them, listen, come to our church, and we'll pray for you, and God will heal you. It takes boldness to do that. But God will confirm it. The religious leaders, man, they got upset. They stirred up the crowd against Paul and Barnabas, and the Bible says they stoned Paul. And they left him for dead. What happened? In Acts 14, 20, when the believers encircled Paul's body, he miraculously stood up. Immediately went back in the city. I believe Paul was raised from the dead. Believe me, they knew how to stone people. And he was dead. And they surrounded him and miraculously gets up. What does he do? He doesn't say, well, I'm going to stop preaching this gospel stuff, man. I just got killed. No, he goes back to the city and he carries on preaching. In Acts 15, verse 12, everyone listened quietly as Barnabas and Paul told about all the miraculous signs and wonders that God had done through them among the Gentiles. Amen. In Acts 16, Paul cast a demon out of a young girl who was a fortune teller. And because her masters lost their source of profit, they get Paul and Silas thrown in jail. And Paul and Silas are in jail at midnight. They're singing praise to God. And what happened? Power of God shakes that jail. All the prison doors fly open. All the chains fell off. The warden is about to kill himself. He ends up receiving Jesus and getting saved. I mean, talk about a God of miracles, a God of signs, a God of wonders. It's from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, man. God spoke to Paul in visions. He protected Paul. He delivered him, did many miracles, signs, and wonders. In fact, in Acts 19, it says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons brought from his body to the sick, the diseases left and the evil spirits went out of them. I mean, this causes a revival to take place. It says all the people in Ephesus were awestruck, both Jews and non-Jews, when they heard about what had happened. Great fear fell upon the entire city. The authority of the name of Jesus was exalted. Many believers publicly confessed their sins and disclosed their secrets. Large numbers of people who'd been practicing magic took all their books and scrolls and spells and incantations and burned them. And the value of the books and scrolls was over several million dollars. The power of God caused the word to spread, and the people were greatly impacted. I pray that God's power would be demonstrated in this church, and that it would cause the word to spread, and it would impact people throughout this city. How about you? Paul said this about miracles, signs, and wonders. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 15, in verse number 19, he said they were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders, and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way, I have fully presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Iconium. Do you know that if we are not talking about miracles, signs, and wonders, we're not preaching the full gospel. We're not preaching the full gospel. The Amplified Version of Romans 15, 19 says, even as my preaching has been accompanied by the power of signs and wonders, and all this by the power of the Holy Spirit, the result is that starting from Jerusalem and as far as Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel, carrying out the full good news of Christ in its entirety. If we are not preaching about signs and wonders, if we are not demonstrating the power of God, we are not preaching the full gospel of Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4, my preaching was not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. How many of you know we need to preach in demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit? I don't want you to come to church and just give you a good message. Well, that was a very encouraging message. Hey, listen, I'm not a motivational speaker, and I'm not a life coach. I'm a man of God that preaches the word of God that is confirmed with signs and wonders and miracles. Are you with me? It's great to get an encouraging message, but God has more for you. There's too many churches today that are just preaching eloquent messages, but there's no power. There's no demonstration. There's no lives changed. This next generation needs to see God's miracle working power with signs and wonders and miracles. David said in Psalm 71, David said, "From my childhood, you have been my teacher, and I'm still telling everyone of your miracle wonders. God, now that I'm old and gray, don't walk away. Give me grace to demonstrate to the next generation all your mighty miracles and show them your magnificent power." That's what I'm praying. Lord, I've seen your power in my life. I've seen you do miracles. I want the next generation. I don't want this next generation to think that church is just about going and hearing a good message. I want this next generation to experience and demonstrate signs and wonders and miracles. Can you say amen? I'm so grateful. I'm grateful that I got saved. At Christian Family Church in Johannesburg, I was 16 years old. I was not raised going to church. Believe me, I didn't much like religious people. I didn't much have time for religious people. I didn't connect with them. I didn't identify with them because they were good people, and I was not a good person. I did all the wrong things that I could possibly find. But when I met Jesus, and he transformed my life. And I'm so glad that the church I got saved at, we saw God's miracle power demonstrated. Pastor Theo would pray for people to be healed every Sunday, and God would do miracles. I saw deaf ears open. I saw blind eyes open. I saw people with growths and cancers disappear. I've seen people that have one leg shorter than the other. I've seen it grow out 4 inches right in front of my eyes. Let me tell you, Pastor Theo, he moved in signs and wonders and miracles. And when he recognized God was calling me to preach, to minister, he would have me, he says, "Steve, come pray with me. Come pray with me." And I would walk and pray for people. I remember the first time, I was 19 years old, I prayed for a man named Jackie, and he had cancer. His body was riddled with cancer. And I prayed, and I just watched what Pastor Theo did, man, and I just prayed, "Be healed in the name of Jesus." And he went to the doctor, and he came back, and they couldn't find any of the cancer. It had all gone. I remember when we started our church in Cape Town in 1991, we launched the church with a miracle, with a signs and wonders miracle crusade. We had big posters, signs and wonders, miracle crusade. We put these posters, 1,000 of them, all over Cape Town. And we started off with a week-long miracle crusade. And let me tell you, many people were healed. Many, so many healings. So many miracles. Pastor Theo came down and he preached for us. And we had 500 people got saved in 5 days in a city where we didn't know anybody. 500 people. I remember when we just started the church in Cape Town, and I got a call from one of our members, her husband was a 27-year-old rugby player. I mean, he was super fit. And she called me. She was in a state. He was in the intensive care. His appendix had burst, and all the poison had gone throughout his body, and he was on life support. They asked me, this was a Saturday, if I could come right now. And we went over, Jill and I took oil, and when I got there, the nurse told me that in 20 years of nursing, she'd never seen anyone come out of this. That all the poison had gone throughout his body, and there was that she didn't see any chance of him surviving. I anointed him with oil. I prayed, "In the name of Jesus, be healed. I release the power of God to flow through your body in Jesus' name." He looked just the same. Didn't look like anything happened. That was on Saturday night. On Monday, they called me and said suddenly he came out of it. They've moved him out of intensive care, and by Tuesday, they discharged him. She told me she'd never seen anything like it. Come on, give God some praise if you believe that. I remember Dolores isn't here today, our photographer. I remember when she told me that she'd been diagnosed with a brain aneurysm. She started having blackouts, started out just a few seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and it kept getting longer until she had a blackout that was 30 minutes. She couldn't see anything. He went to the doctor, and he said that she had a brain aneurysm, and they scheduled surgery like for the next day. It was that serious. And so she came to church that night, and we all gathered around, and we prayed for her. We laid hands on her, and we prayed for her. The next morning, she went in for the surgery. Well, when she did the surgery, guess what? They couldn't find the aneurysm. It had completely gone. She never had another problem, and she got the x-rays to prove it. Our God is a God of miracles. He's a God of signs. He's a God of wonders. I was talking to Pam. Wave at me, Pam. Pam was telling me at a prayer meeting on Thursday that when she was going through one of the most difficult times in her life, and she was really just so desperate, and she was crying before God, and she cried out. I think you stepped outside your door, and she was out in the yard, and she was crying out to God to help her, crying out to God, and suddenly she saw this bright light, and she looked around to see where the light was coming from, and next to her she saw two angels, one on either side with their sword drawn. The next day she got her miracle. She knew that the Lord was fighting her battles for you. Now you may not see it, but there are angels with you. There are angels around you. And I pray that some of you will see those angels. I'm praying for some signs and wonders and miracles, that you'll see angels. I'm praying that God will use you to bring healing to people, to set people free. Can you say amen, somebody? I'm thinking about Angela, who's not here this morning, but Angela had a growth in her uterus. Was it a uterus, Monique? I think it was a uterus. And it was so big. It was as big as a tennis ball. When she lay flat on her back, you could see it. She came forward one Sunday, and my daughter Nadine prayed for her, and that growth disappeared. Gone. Doctors couldn't find it. I remember when Nadine brought her friend Diane to church. Diane had had 11 miscarriages in a row, one after another, 11 times. And she so wanted to have another child. She had a little boy, and she wanted another child. And I grabbed her hands and said, "Do you believe God can do miracles?" She said, "Yes, I do." And I prayed for her. Outside, standing outside church, I prayed for her. Within 3 months, she was pregnant, and now she's got a little girl, 3-year-old Lily, completely healthy. I remember Carol Budoff. Carol's had some miracles. She had a lump in her chest. It was about that big, right? Little smaller. Okay, about that big. And she had this lump. We prayed for her. She went back to the doctor. He took the needle, tried to find it. What did he say to you? He said, "Get dressed and go home." He couldn't find it. It had disappeared. Let me tell you, our God is a God of miracles. He's a God of miracles. Now, I'm gonna wrap it up there because I got more to say. But I think you heard enough. But you know what I'm talking about next week? How do you receive a miracle? So I'm laid a foundation for you today. I've laid a foundation. I kind of knew at the end this was going to happen. Because I know when I'm preparing and I get too much, I don't think I'm going to get this far, and I go anyway. So I'm going to hold off, and I want to pick it up next week with how do you receive miracles in your life. Would you be interested in knowing that? Would you like to know how to receive miracles in your life? Did you get something out of this today? Give the Lord thanks and praise. Will you do that? Come on, give him some thanks and praise. Thank you, Lord. You are the God of miracles, signs, and wonders. And we want to thank you, Lord. You haven't changed. We want to thank you, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is there anyone in here that needs healing in your body today? Anyone, you need a healing in your body. I want to pray for you right now. The power of God is here right now for you to be healed. If you need healing in your body, I want to pray for you. Wave, hold your hand up. If you need healing, hold your hand up. I want you to stand up for me. And would you mind just come and stand right at the front? Come and we're going to pray for you real quick. Don't go anywhere, anybody. Just hang in there. See, we want signs, wonders, and miracles, but only if it happens in 90 minutes. If it goes beyond 90 minutes, I'm not interested, Pastor Steve. Well, it doesn't always happen in your timing. If you need healing, I want you to come forward right now, and we are going to pray for you. You have something to say?
There's somebody that's here, and you started to have a clouding over the side of your eye, and it's concerning you, and you're like, I'm going to have to see the doctor. There's cataracts or whatever it is. There's clouding. So if that's you, just come forward. We're gonna pray for you. There's somebody else that's having extreme pain in the side of their abdomen, and it's there's a blockage of some sort. There's a blockage that's causing pain, and the Lord's gonna heal you. So if that's you, don't hesitate. Don't think I'll take those pills. I'll see the doctor. I'll have that treatment. Why don't you just step out in faith and come forward and let us pray for you?
Yes.
You're coming forward, Wolf.
Church, will you stretch your hand and agree with us in prayer? Will you stretch your hand toward these people this morning? Come on, let's agree. Pray with us. Believe God with us. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I release your healing anointing, your healing power. I command sickness and disease. Go in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Thank you, Father, for your healing anointing and power that flows right now through these people. As I lay my hands on them, I thank you that they are healed. I thank you they recover. I give you all the praise in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be healed in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for your healing power that's flowing through Carol's body even now, even right now. In the name of Jesus, Donna, be healed in the name of Jesus. I command sickness, disease, go from your body. I thank you, Lord, for healing Donna from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, for restoring her health in Jesus' name. Do you need healing today, JJ, for what? In the name of Jesus, I release your healing power, Lord, to flow through JJ. I command his body to be healed, his chest to be healed. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We praise you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for Bill. As I lay my hands upon him, we release your healing power, your healing anointing. I thank you for restoring his health. I thank you, Lord, for healing him. I give you all the praise, all the honor. I command all pain to go, all disease, all sickness. You leave in the name of Jesus. Lord, we release your mighty healing power. Thank you for confirming your word with signs and wonders. Lord, thank you for Jerry. Thank you, Lord, right now that he's healed by the stripes of Jesus. We release your healing power. We release your healing anointing. We command his body be healed in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, thank you for Tony. In the name of Jesus, I command this sugar diabetes to go. In the name of Jesus, I command your blood sugar to be normal. In the name of Jesus, I command your body to be healed and healthy. In Jesus' name, Lord, we give you the praise, the glory, the honor right now. Yes. Sherry, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I release your healing power and anointing. I command all sickness and disease, go from her now. Thank you, Lord, for healing her. Be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We praise you. Thank you for confirming your word with signs following. You want prayer? Oh, praying for a mom. What's her name? Father, we pray for Nicole's mother, Tammy, who has pneumonia right now. Lord, I've seen you heal many people who were far away, no matter where they may be. There's no distance in prayer. I command her mother to be healed. I command pneumonia, go in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for your healing power that flows through Nicole's mother, Tammy, even right now, flowing through her, restoring her health in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for Bruce. I release your healing anointing to flow through his body. I command all sickness, all disease, go in the name of Jesus. I command his body be healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. Lord, thank you for Wolf. As I lay my hands upon Wolf, I release your healing power. I release your healing anointing. I command his body be healed in the name of Jesus. I command sickness, disease, go. Go in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. Lord, we pray for Abel. He's been injured. We pray that you will restore and heal his shoulder right now. In the name of Jesus, let your healing power flow through his body. Thank you for healing and restoring him, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Angela, who are we praying for? Who's that? Let's pray for Chloe. What? In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for Chloe. And we thank you, Father, right now. You said you and your house shall be saved. We claim her for your kingdom. We claim her salvation, Father. And I pray you do a mighty miracle. I command her to be healed. This narcolepsy to go from her. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over anything that's oppressing her, anything that's trying to bind her. Devil, you loose her. You loose Chloe in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you. We see Chloe serving you. We see her on fire, healthy, healed, free. We just thank you that you're working in Chloe's life right now. And Lord, let your power flow through Angela. In the name of Jesus, I pray you touch Angela, Father. Let your anointing flow through her now. In Jesus' name, amen. And everybody said, amen and amen. Give the Lord another hand of praise and a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Stand up with me as we close. Praise the Lord. And listen, we always want to hear what the Lord has done. So sometimes you can't always tell immediately. But come and tell us. Come and share what the Lord has done in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Say this. Lift your hand. Say, Father, I thank you. Everybody, say, Father, I thank you. You're a miracle-working God. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing miracles in my life. Thank you for signs and wonders in my life. Thank you, Lord, that you're using me to bring miracles in other people's lives. Say this, say, Lord, I pray, give me boldness to be able to speak for you and to be able to do the things that Jesus did, that you've called me to do. Thank you, Lord. You're a supernatural God. There's nothing too hard for you. And I just thank you and praise you for all your miracles in the name of Jesus. Just bow your head for a moment. Lord, we do thank you. We do praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. For it is only by your mercy that we receive your miracles. And we just want to, Lord, I want to thank you for confirming this word with signs following. I want to thank you, Lord, for doing miracles and signs and wonders in people's lives, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I'm careful to give you alone all of the praise, all of the glory, all of the honor, Lord. We don't want signs, wonders, and miracles that we can be lifted up, but we want to see these that Jesus can be lifted up and all would be drawn unto him. While you have your head bowed, before we close today, the greatest miracle that you can ever receive in your life is when you receive Jesus and he saves you and he changes you and you become a brand new person. You are born again. If you've never received Jesus in your life, I want to pray for you today. If you're not sure where you stand with the Lord, I want to pray for you. If you're not sure what would happen to you if you were to die today, let me tell you the good news. You can be sure. You can know that you know that all is well between you and God. And you can know that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven that awaits us, and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray right now for everyone that says, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and God. And I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Listen, if that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you, but right where you are, if you want to be included in this prayer, you may even be watching this online somewhere, just lift your hand up right now, wherever you are. Just lift up your hand. And if your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. And the scripture says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if you declare with your mouth that He is Lord, you will be saved. So everyone, say that with me. If you're watching this, say that with me. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much, you sent Jesus, your Son, to come to this earth, to die on a cross, to take my sin. Lord, you said that if I believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and if I confess that He is Lord, that I will be saved. I do this today. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I declare, Jesus, you're Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to follow you, Lord. And I thank you because I've received you. I'm now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. And heaven is my home. My name's written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. I want to say thank you to all of our servant volunteers. Thank you for everyone who served today, the media department, the children's department, the kids' church, and the ushers, the greeters, the people who came early to pray. You know, we had such a great time here Wednesday with our team meet. I encourage you, if you missed it, come to the next one. But turn to someone, tell them, I'm glad you were here today. You're going to have a great week this week. We'll see you next Sunday. I'm going to carry on next Sunday. Bring someone next Sunday. Bring someone who needs a miracle. Bring them next Sunday. Amen. It's a God of miracles.
The God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. God was and is to come.